one thing about grays is that you have over 73 different species of them that's involved in this Project Blue Rock right here at Earth. 16 different species of reptilians also involved. Now, with the grays, the most important thing to remember is taught by the master in Eastern for the Atum Ray, is that if you make contact with them, and an encounter of the third kind, some type of physical contact with them, definitely to avoid all grays that have six fingers. Those are malevolent, disagreeable beings, right? And that you should not approach even the ones with five fingers, because some of them are also disagreeable and malevolent, right? But when you're speaking about that, when you speak in the Bible, that you see things about the Philistines, like the tribes of Goliath, right? And that they all had, you know, the Philistines were a black tribe, by the way. A lot of people think that they're white or Caucasian, but they were actually black. But they had 12 fingers and 12 toes, as mentioned in the Bible, right? So you have to be reminded that those beings that were created in the image of the Most High had five fingers and five toes. So you know that there's disagreeable inside the genome here on the planet Earth as well. Is everybody with me? Everybody familiar with that? Okay. So let's understand that all of you here know that have been around the master teacher a while. If you heard him say, for example, at an assembly in Atlanta one time, he stepped on stage and he gazed out over the audience real solemnly and very sincerely. And for a long time, he looked and scanned the audience and he finally said, stepped to the mic and said, you all in here are the falling angels. Remember, anybody familiar with him saying that? If not, you heard it tonight. And he spoke about us here. But you have to remember that when you're speaking about angelic beings, those are actually grays, Sister Carolyn. That the grays are actually what the people refer to as angelic beings, and that we all are descendants from them. Now, a lot of people are kind of confused about what a gray is, but it's actually a hybrid, which is a crossbreed between a reptilian and a Homo sapien, right? So, that you, when you're speaking about grays, when you have a normal birth, of course, we look back to reptilian heritage that we have in our genome. You know that when the man ejaculates with a sperm, it's also called semen, which is two words, that's semen. And that the reptilian female ovulates eggs rather than give a live birth, they hatch eggs. And so that even what you call a Homo sapien female, they ovulate an egg once a month. See, so that you got a semen or a sperm or a tadpole in resemblance that has gills. That is connected to a zygote, to you know, from an egg, right? Now, it's also breathing underwater and has gills, right? Because the baby doesn't use lungs until it's separated from the mother. The umbilical is cut, and the doctor spanks the baby. Then it takes its first breath with lungs. But before that, it was breathing with gills. And a lot of you have said things like this: "That nigga is stewed to the gills," right? And you didn't realize what you were saying, or don't send that nigga over here. He's a snake in the grass. You see? Or they say that women have a certain smell like fish. You see, you have webs between your fingers. The little dent inside of your skin, we used to be scales, but now they're soft. But when you scratch dandruff, if you look at them close on a magnifying glass, you can see those are little scales. That's what that dandruff is. Right? Or the niggas with the puffy fingers or the flat head. Well, that means that everybody knows that we have the reptilian in our genome. And all the gray is a hybrid or a cross between when a human being and a reptilian mate. For example, like the Dogon tribes of Mali. Right? So that when you look at the gestation of a baby, when it's 9 months inside the womb, outside the 3 months that was preparatory, outside the male and female, before there was a physical contact between the two, in a spiritual sense, and a 9 month gestation physical inside the mother's womb, you can see that there are three periods. And on the first and the second trimester, which is actually considered the first, the baby is a reptilian. So if you look at the fetus, it's going to have a tail on it and little claws on it. You see, it's going to have a long tail on it. You see, which is still reminiscent of the sperm, the tail on the sperm, or the amphibious like the frog, the reptilian. You see. So, and then in the second trimester, which is actually the third trimester, it's going to be a gray. If you look at the ultrasound, you're going to see a real big head, and you know what happens, you know, with the big, big eyes, you know, and that's a gray. And then if you look also, why we say it's a gray, and you know it's a gray, it's because it's taught by the master, and he terrified to the Atum Ray. You brothers and sisters know, especially when you were children, you used to play in a tub, and you used to stay in a tub way too long. Or you put a Band-Aid on and keep it on too. too long. When you take it off, what color was your skin under the band-aid?
Okay.
It was gray, you see, and that's what it was. You can see that you were gray if you stayed under the water. Are you following me? So, like I said, in the second trimester, which is actually the third trimester, you're actually a gray, which is the reptilian evolving into Homo sapiens. So it's the interphase between a reptile and a Homo sapien. Are y'all following me? A hybrid between the two. Like you have apples and cranberries, and you can crossbreed with a cran apple. It's real, but not original. Right? Now, these grays are still in your genome. So if I was to ask you all right now, are you reptilian, are you a gray, or are you a Homo sapien, what would be your scientific factual answer to that question?
All three.
That's exactly right. You are all three of those things in your genome. Are you with me, sister? So, what happens for some of you all that I emailed this picture to, remember a long time ago, I told a lot of you frequently, over and over again, about an experience I had at the Millersville Courthouse when Malachi had a trial here, and that I got on the radio and called all the Wahhabis. There was thousands of the Wahhabis out there. It looked like a sea of the Wahhabis. But anyway, myself, I went up to the second floor to the courtroom. When I walked in the doors, I was basically the only one inside the courtroom. It was empty in the front and behind the swinging gates. I went to make my left turn to go sit down and wait for the people to assemble, but something caught me. And I walked, stepped instead to the swinging gate right there, and I was transfixed. I lost time. I didn't know what happened, but I couldn't move from there. And then after I kept staring back at that door, it bursted open, and that was Malachi. He walked through with his eyes locked on mine like he already had eye contact with me. Before he opened the door, he knew I was standing there just where my eyes was. He didn't have to move his head or swivel at all. He just walked right through with his gaze locked on mine. And walked straight to me as an owl, and his nose got no closer than about 8 inches away from my nose. And he stared up and with Sheriff Shields right behind him. He had a dark blue suit on with handcuffs, and Sheriff Shields was right behind him. And he stared up into my eyes, and he never said a word, but he was intense because you could see the veins moving like a person that bite, you know, on the side of the temple. And I noticed that
the jail administration will disconnect your comments.
Yes. And I noticed that his eyes were black. Are you following me? Is everybody with me? And then he wouldn't sit down and say a word. But when I turned to get a seat in the empty courtroom, it was loaded with people. It was filled up with people. Right? It was filled up with people. And I was surprised, but I wasn't going to leave his side. So I elected to just sit on the floor. And I was sweating in my suit, just staring at him, confused. Right? And then eventually, Dr. Bright, a Nwabian, a noble of Nwabian, gave me his seat, and I sat next to my friend Dr. Robert Kimbrough, and he was asking me questions about the Empress of Ouachita, et cetera, because I was the ambassador for the Nwabian nation to the Ouachita nation and to the Empress. But something kept telling me to turn around, and I didn't do it. I wouldn't listen, you know, but about the third time my family finally succumbed, I gave in to the suggestion. I turned around, and there was Sheriff Steele. He was turned around like the exorcist, like on that picture that we have that the master made, We Are Family, where that Sheriff Shields was turned around and he was staring at me directly in my eyes with his head turned all the way backwards. And his eyes were identical, black, just like the master teacher's eyes, no difference at all, just a different body, same eyes and a different head. And I was confused already, and I was really confused after that. Are y'all following me? Yeah, the Sheriff Seals, his eyes were identical to Malachi's eyes, jet black the same way.
Okay.
Identical. Okay, now, so that day it was no more said about it, but I was asked to ask him about what happened, and because I usually don't ask him. I don't want to be like Moses asking too many, but I finally got up the nerve to ask him, because he was calling me a couple times a day. Sometimes he was blessing me like that. And one time after he was giving me instructions and talking to me so fast, those of you that know, he slowed down, and I respectfully asked him about that time. He recalled it. Yes, that's right. And I said, well, when you stepped to me, you know, when I looked at your eyes were black. And then when I said that, you know, he dropped the phone. And I could hear him like he was talking to himself. Then he picked the phone back up again. And I said, what? He said, you were supposed to see that. And I said, why was I supposed to see it? And he was explaining to me about starting up a new holy tablet and this, that, and the other, because people in Georgia were illiterate. It was something off the... So I made a joke. I said, so you're going to write a new slowly tablet, right? We both laughed about that. But you know, but eventually I got back to the point. He said to me, after I pressed him a little bit, you know, he said, didn't you know that I was a gray? I said, no, I didn't know that. No, I didn't know you were a gray. I had no idea that you were a gray. I had no idea. But I didn't know you were a gray. And I did. And then after he slowed down again, and I could ask him again, I was trying to clear more confusion for me. I asked him, I said, well, what about Sheriff Sills? I looked at him, and his eyes was black, just like yours, identical. And he said real quick on Sheriff Sills' head, he's sure enough a reptilian. Now, I was already confused, but now I'm tied in a complete knot now, right? Now, you know, cause I'm really messed up now, right? And so now, I didn't think until the next day he called back again, and then because I forgot to tell him that when I saw his eyes wasn't just the color black, but there was no white in it. The whole eye was black, like a gray, you know what I'm saying? On him, and so the whole, there was no white at all. And so I was getting ready to ask him about that, and he said, I know, the whole eye was black, there was no white showing. I said, well, he said, I know what you saw. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, and frequently he would say to me things like this, that we're the same, we're just alike, me and you, we're the same, we're just alike, we are one, right? And I was always confused about what he meant about that. You know, I really was confused about what he meant. And but what happens is, there was a brother, and I hope, are you here, Blessed? I hope you are, because I tried to get you. I mean, he's a friend of ours that was with Malachi a lot. He had a rap group called Mortal Bloodline. Him and Doug and Blind Joe. Doug is probably here. Are you here, Doug?
I'm here, brother.
Okay, right, who bad? Is this Bless?
No, this is Doug.
Okay, how you doing, Doug? He was part of that group. Doug was part of the group with the brother Kane and Joe. And Malachi would say frequently about Kane, I know, and I think Doug too. That Cain never changed. He's the same. He's been that way for thousands of years. He's the same. He hasn't changed. He's the same guy, right? What did he say, Doug? Do you remember what he said? He used to say to Cain about that?
He would make reference to say, I've been knowing these cats for thousands of years.
Right. He would make reference to that. He knew Doug and Cain and Joe for thousands and thousands of years. And he knew all of us for thousands of years. Believe that. Anyway, the thing is that's spectacular about this, for those of you all that received these emails that I've sent you, is that the brother Cain photographed his eyes in a mirror with a cell phone. And I think it was a period of 3 days that during his evolution, that all of us, a lot of us are evolving into what we're becoming. But for those of you that saw it, and some of you saw it in person, you knew that his eyes were black all the way without any white showing. And anybody that's interested in seeing the photographs, they can call me tomorrow. Just like a gray, and it stayed like that 3 days. I think he went to the doctor, and the doctor was confused and puzzled about it, too. But the thing is that you have to remember that this is in all of our genome, and as you raise up in vibrations and become who you really are, who and what you really are, as the master teacher said, coming at you again from your past through your future. So you got to realize that you are fallen angels is what you are, and jelly beans are not little fat white babies with bird feathers. They're actually grays. That's the truth. They're actually grays, right? And you're actually grays because you can see yourself inside the gestation period inside the womb. Or think about that band-aid when you pull it off of that bath, or that baby that's in the trimester, and you see with that big head, with that big head and those big black eyes inside the womb like that. That baby that can breathe under that water, you know, when they give birth underwater, the baby's swimming and breathe. Then until they spank it and make it use them lungs. Now, see, that's what it is. That's what it is. So you know the reptile is in you. And you know some of these brothers and sisters, you know they got the webs between their fingers. Well, Aqua's not one of them. But they got the webs in their fingers way up there and between their toes there, right? And that's another sign of the reptile right there. You follow me? And what you say, I'm trying to say, Sister Carolyn, is that the gray is just something that's a hybrid. That's a crossbreed between a full reptilian and a Homo sapien, right?
Right.
Okay, now is there anything else that you might want to know about?
Now, I wanted to know, like you said, there were the disagreeable ones. Now, you said that there were disagreeable
ones. Right.
I'm clear.
I'll do my best. Who's asking?
I.
Okay. No, they don't. In fact, That was a conversation that they had with the Most High. In fact, they asked to be able to come down to the plane with man and be able to be allowed to experience emotions, right?
Right.
So you all asked to come here. For many of you that say, I didn't ask to come here, that's not true. Right. And I have a DVD that I'd like to send to anybody that's further curious about it called Secret Space and some others that'll reveal how the extraterrestrial, what you call an angelic beings, are constantly circulating in the atmosphere around this planet here.
All right.
Yes. Okay, I'll send it. Okay, anybody else have any questions about anything? About the Orion constellation? Well, that's a constellation that is one of the constellations that what you call the Anunnaki, which also have a line to their genome that's reptilian in nature, because Anu married into the reptilian lineage in order to try to prevent war between the two species, right? But when we left Risk, the planet Risk, in the 19th galaxy of Immune, as a result of our ozone layer being depleted or ruptured by a disagreeable being, a reptilian called Tarnoosh, who did it with a plutonium bomb, right? That then the ultraviolet rays were penetrating our atmosphere, and the radiation got to be too much for the surface dwellers. In the same way, that's what's happening here at Earth with the big rupture, a hole in your ozone layer over the continent of Australia. But it was much quicker there, the effect, because it was a tri-solar system and three suns. The rays were much more intense, right? So what we did is that we left, the majority of us, some of us went underground, but the majority of us left and went to other star constellations, to other planets, until we could effectively make repairs to make it safe for us to return to our own planet. And one of the star systems that we went to was the Orion star constellation, right? Which is actually one of the places that we stopped off on our way to this star system here at Earth, and the stop that we made first here was Mars and the Moon. And for those of you that are familiar or those that are not, you can go onto your internet and do a computer search and look for Plains of Cydonia, Viking 5 photos, and then look at the photographs, and you'll see that there are cities and pyramids with the face of Homo erectus on the planet Mars in the Plains of Cydonia. And that Homo erectus face that you see on Mars, what it is a symbol marking a laboratory called Shifty there that they had, of course, on Earth. They had one on the Moon and on Mars and on the Nibiru itself. But one of the laboratories there where that they had gathered the species under the command of one of the main scientists named Inky, who was half reptilian, right, and the son of Anu, or the one you call the Most High, and that where they had captured the species of the Homo erectus or the great apes, and they brought them there, and they binded the egg of the ape woman into the uterus of the womb of the Anunnaki woman, Niti, Mother Niti, and they started breeding with the Shiru from one of the Anunnaki brothers, right, mixed with that Tima, and they put that together with some genetic splicing, and they started grafting in a 600-year project, 100 years for gathering, 400 years for the development in the laboratory, and 100 years for education. All together, they started grafting the Homo erectus from out of the great ape by putting the Anunnaki into the genome there. And they left markers there in those cities. And then when they left Mars because of the depletion of the atmosphere, we eventually landed here on Earth and set up similar civilizations. You can see evidence of that at the pyramids at Giza, where you have the three pyramids there, the main pyramids that lined up with the sister's question before, or with the three majors, with the three main stars in the belt of the Orion constellation, right? Also, like the ones that the pyramids, they line up, the number, the key to it is 19.5. That's 19.5 is the number that shows you that the beings that created the cities, the grid, laid the work for it on Mars are the same ones that duplicated their work here when they built up the pyramids on Giza. And what you do is when you look at the Viking 5 photos, which are Passover photos from 1976, you also go to the computer and do a search for aerial photos over the plain of the Giza Plateau, and you take pictures of the pyramids as the plane passed over ahead of it, looking down on it, and do comparative studies, lay the photographs side by side, and you'll see that the same beings created both civilizations, and that'll give you some insight as to our traveling from Risk to Orion and eventually to Mars and to Earth. Now, there, another brother that called me today was over here today, yesterday, Mike, and he just called me on the phone today from Warner Robins, George, and he said, Brother Ackman, I was looking in the mirror, and it looked like I was looking green. And a lot of you have had that. You've had your children. Sometimes, as babies, they were born, and they had big blue or green spots on their buttocks or on their back, and the doctor never could give you an answer as to what it was. But it was what it is reminiscent of the time that we lived on planet Risk that had different elements in the terrain of it. And the dominant elements there were gold and magnesium, as the, you know, so that it gave us a blue hue or a greenish color to our skin, unlike here on Earth, where the dominant element is iron, right, in the soil. So that so what happens is that now that we have a base element of iron, instead of being blue or green, we're brown, because when iron mixes with water, which we're 90% water, when the water mixes with the iron, it oxidizes, it rusts and gives us the brown color now. But some of you that are from that place still have that green skin. That some people make reference to it as olive tone complexion. My father was very green. Are you following me? And that's also what you hear sayings like little green men from Mars, or the little green men. They're talking about you all. And if you look at the frescoes or the wall paintings on the pyramids or the mirrors in Egypt, you see it's also reminiscent of the blue and the green, the pharaohs and the queens, et cetera. Sometimes you find them depicted as blue or green or green hue. Right? Anybody else? Okay, how are you doing, Mike?
I'm fine.
Well, young man, I'm doing my best.
I want the gray
is a gray, are they humanoid? Is a gray a humanoid?
Yes.
No, they're not complete human, but they're a hybrid, a cross between a reptilian and a homo sapien or a human. Okay? But they are what you would consider people. That's right. They're little people, they're people. But they're much more intelligent than we are. They use 100% of their brain. They have one organ that acts as the lung and the heart at the same time, simultaneously. So they're different in a lot of ways. But they're eventually referred to as EBEs, the extraterrestrial biological entities, by scientists. They were sent here by the Riskians as understudies or servants to check out the atmosphere, you know. In other words, they used them as kind of feelers before that the Riskians, being the dignitaries that they were, would expose themselves to the harsh elements on the planet Earth. They sent them down to check out the terrain in order for them to learn exactly what they needed to terraform it. In other words, the kind of plants that they need to create the kind of oxygen and to create the kind of food and atmosphere that make it conducive for them to live here comfortably, right? So that's what the biological engineer, the grays, should do to perform that specific task. And when they got through with that task, the grays were given their freedom by the Anunnaki, and many of them set up bases in other Bellatrix and other star systems. But some of them were colonized and taken over by the reptilians, right? Who used them as harsh slaves even to this day.
And do the grays, they don't have gender.
Yeah, that was one of the ways that the reptilians maintains control over them, right? Because that the way they have them biologically formed is so that they can't reproduce, you know, on their own, right? And in addition to that, they don't even have a stomach, a lot of them, so some of them not even a mouth opening, so they can't eat. What they have to do is they have to assimilate food through their skin. And this, it sounds horrible, but the reptilians have set up a system that they have large vats, that they have a slurry, is what they call the substance that they put into them. And it's got a lot of hydrogen peroxide. It smells horrible, but they have to, in order to feed, they have to submerge themselves in this vats of slurry in order to take their sustenance through their skin to sustain themselves. And that they have to go to the reptilians. And it might sound drastic and harsh, but as the master teacher Nietzsche referred to Atum Ray, made mention in some of his books that he wrote, don't be taken back by that, because many of you don't realize that you as the black race have almost come just as dependent upon the Caucasian race right now for your food and sustenance, and none of you can buy or sell without the mark of the beast, and you go to him and depend on him in the same way that the grays are dependent on the reptilians now, because their hierarchy here on this planet is also the Illuminati, which is also a branch of the reptilian.
They are his brothers, and that's our family, right?
Those people, they're coming back to get you too, if you won't come. you've learned to love to be with the Luciferians so much that you've been indoctrinated that you want to eat like them and you want to love and have sex with them and you want to dress like them and you want to emulate them and be in their image and likeness, and you become to be so assimilated into their society that when your own family comes from you now, for you now, you'd rather be with the, you feel more comfortable with the Luciferians than you do with your own kind. But they're coming here for you because that you actually come from an immortal bloodline, seriously. But you see, that's the name of the rap group, right, Doug?
Yeah.
Immortal bloodline, because you come from an immortal bloodline. Otherwise, how could he know you all for thousands of years unless you were immortal, Doug?
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. So that what it means by, we have, you know, you say about everybody got these two forms, some people have, so when you see like, they transform, some people transform into their true form, or in your spirit, you see the true form.
Yes, you can. Yes, and he's a master. He knows all men by their marks, right? But, you know, before all this happened, on the realm of what you call Malakut, the plane of Malakut, it was occupied by two species that are referred to as seraphim and cherubim, right? That when they manifested or incarnated down on this physical plane, they incarnated into what you refer to as the black and the white race. And I don't have to tell you which is which, right? The seraphim are the black race, and the cherubim are the white race, even though and the second fall, that the 200 fallen angels were actually black, that followed the white of a reptilian called Iblis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. That's right.
Isn't there a calendar?
There are many calendars.
No, I mean the calendar with time and
date. Yes, there is one that the master teacher put out, and I think I have one of them. I can send to you if I can find it. It's not just this different kind of extraterrestrial beings. Yes, it is.
Right.
Uh-huh. I'll try to get that to you if I can find it. Just I know exactly what you're speaking about. Yes, and it's, I'm glad you asked that because I was in here in my room about 2 days ago. And a brother that the sister Ma is familiar with, Morris, an elder brother, he came over here and blessed me with his presence, him and another brother. And I was showing them a copy of Conspiracy Revealed Part 11, The Key. And I was going to, and I turned to the other brother to make a comment to him. And when I did, I looked in the air right here in my room, and the vortex was wide open and spinning, right? And I didn't see any being come in. Or go into it or leave out of it. So I don't know what happened before I looked at it, turned and saw it, but a vortex opened right then. Now, all a vortex is an interface or a connection that connects two planes of existence, two frequencies of vibration, or two planes of existence. It's no different. It's nothing spooked out. It's no more than if you take a cup of coffee and stir the spoon around real fast and then take it out. That hole that you see in it, that's a vortex, right? And then that's in a liquid sense. But if you go up and make it a little less dense, say, for example, a tornado, and to a gaseous, that's also a vortex. But if you go up even higher or less dense into a much faster frequency, then you go into ether or etheric interface, and that'll take you in from one plane to another, an interface, if you will, or a doorway into it, right? It's like, in other words, there's no way that you can just walk from the third to the fourth plane like opening a physical door. But there are portals or vortexes or interfaces or places that are open up that can make you capable of stepping in from one dimension into another. Right? Like a wormhole, for example, right? Is anybody familiar with that? A wormhole. Yeah, I'm Brother Ackman. I'm definitely not Brother Malachi. It's only one master teacher. I'm his student. I'm his student, believe me. Trust. Yeah.
It's on my brain.
I'm sorry?
It's on my brain.
I got you. He's on my brain, too. Yes, indeed.
I have a mind cell calendar on here, and the Atlantic Activation Total Day. We had one yesterday. And we have 9-1
row. Yeah, let me say something about the Mayans that I think is noteworthy, right? That was one of the civilizations that were marked by extraterrestrial civilizations due, for what you might call a, I don't want to say exodus, but a rapture, right? Where the, at a certain point in time that they evolved, I don't mean technologically, but spiritually advanced enough, because the Egyptians and the Mayans and those beings were civilized spiritually, and they knew a lot of things about the sciences and different things, but they didn't go too far to the technological aspect of evolution, but they were much more civilized and refined in other ways, like using the third eye and be aware of the other planes and the creator, etc. Well, that the extraterrestrials came down and large fleets of craft and took away the Mayan civilization as well. So I don't want you all to be startled about the fact that they're going to come here and rapture for many of their children here. And by that I mean that there are a lot of you here that are from different star systems and from different intergalactic confederations of different civilizations. And there are some of you here that are mainly here. Your genome is mostly here. You know, the ape or the reptile here that evolved here on this planet. There are a few of you here that are actually the children of the Anunnaki that came here, what they call the Elohim, or the gods that said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And again, those are you, the ones that they're coming after the rapture. Those are the very spiritual people that have always had these extraterrestrial contacts and the spiritual visions and this kind of a third sight intuitive things. And those of you that are curious now and are drawn to be into this class right now at this date and at this time, especially with the world events going around you, there's something inside of your biological clock that tells you that it's time to get home. It's time for you to gather right now. Now, for those of you that are scientific and only deal in facts, again, I'll repeat that the evidence that there was a, intervention by the Anunnaki in the normal evolutionary timeline here on the planet Earth is that if scientists in which they have, they've catapulted down through history at, say, a place like the Grand Canyon, where a scientist will take a ladder chain and go down, and when he gets to the bottom, he'll start pulling, working his way back up with a hammer and a bag, as he takes samples of fossils from single-celled animals and creatures till he gets up to where they evolve into fish, and further until he works his way almost to the top, where they get into Homo erectus or the great apes, you know, the orangutans and the gibbons, you know, the lairs and the chimpanzees, etc., right? Now, what happens is that he noticed that it takes in this strata, just like you look at the rings of trees to see the how many years it is, you know, in the rings of trees that you would count, you would do that the same way with the strata or the bands of the earth to count, you know, back and forward in time, right? And so that they could calibrate basically how long it takes for one species to evolve into another. In other words, for fish to come out the water, for them to evolve into Homo erectus as well, it takes millions and millions of years. Now, what they found was is that when they got right in the middle of this chain, this strata here, with these great apes walking around on the Earth, you know, these chimpanzees and orangutans, etc., that all of a sudden, not in millions of years or billions of years, but in a 600-year spot right there, in a 600-year little flick of time, all of a sudden, you all went from swinging in trees to building pyramids and et cetera like that, and that was just out of the question. Because y'all was using levitation to raise those stones, you was using what they call light amplified stimulation emission radiation lasers to cut that stone precisely, and that when they fit together in 2.5-ton blocks at the smallest weight so precisely that the seams on the blocks on the pyramid, the integrity on them was even greater than that on the craft, the Gemini crafts that go out in space that are airtight. Those seams were tighter than that and more accurate than the ones they put on those ships at NASA. So they knew good and well. Now, Monkey's doing this right here now. What they called that, Darwin called that, he called you all his missing link. In other words, he was trying to figure out how these apes got to building pyramids and the thing, you know, performing brain surgery in a 600-year period. It just wasn't possible without the intervention of the Anunnaki or the Elohim. And that's the greatest secret that's being kept sacred from you. But that's a mystery to him, because mystery is my story. But he's giving you his story that he calls history. Anybody else? I'm sorry? To talk a lot louder, sister, please.
I'm going to know how right time, the correct time, what time.
Okay, you're talking about time. That's synthetic time, from a zero time reference to every being that came on this planet. That's time. up under this sun in this star system, right? But you have absolute time, right? Which is infinite, right? When, in other words, not a 24-hour day wouldn't exist if you, for example, if you lived on the other side of the sun in another star system, and you look down at this star system that you, with Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, raising the order from the sun, if you looked at it and it looked just like another tiny star, the sun in the sky, if it was that far away or beneath you or above you in another direction away from it, and you weren't under the sun, my question would be, is from wherever you were standing looking at it, how long would your day and night be then? You follow me? Because if you weren't under the sun, you wouldn't have 12-hour shadow and 12-hour day. Are you following me? So in other words, there's no such thing as time at all, right? In other words, all today is a continuation of yesterday, and all tomorrow will be a continuation of today, right? See, tomorrow actually never comes, right? Because every time it does, it's still today. In other words, tomorrow is Friday. Does everybody agree with me?
Yes.
Okay, but when you wake up tomorrow, Friday morning, is it going to be, would you call it tomorrow or do you call it today?
Today.
Okay, and then the next day will be Saturday. When you wake up and say, this is tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
It'll, see, every time tomorrow comes, it's still today.
Today.
So you see, right. Just like the proverbial hamstone, the wheel of the earth just constantly turns, there is no such thing as time. You see, when you start talking about the past and the present and the future, they all exist, for example, in the word like then. Because you can use it in all three instances. You can say, well, back then I used to like this kind of music. That's the past. Now then, that I'm grown and I'm in a certain place, I'm living differently. Or then you can use then in the future. When I do get my degree, then I'm going to begin to live in a certain kind of way. But you're saying then the past, then the present, then the future. It's applying and all. It's applicable in all every instance. Neither is there here or there. Because even when you take the word there, it's taught by the master teacher, take the T off, and it still comes to here. The reality of it is, when you get to the ultimate absolute reality, there's only here and now. But that's before gender or species. That's another class, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
But when, just now you said that's before gender, but that's another class. What does it mean?
Well, it's before, when you start speaking about absolute reality, there's only here and now. The absolute reality of it is that how many creators are there? The actual creator.
One.
That's right. There's nobody here but the one you call out or Kaloon, right? In quantum physics, we mean all. Best definition, you can't add to them because where would you get it from, and you can't take away because where would you put it, right? And then we all agree, even in monotheistic religions, that there's only one creator. So the actual fact that does God have a mother and a father? So what did you call the ultimate creator? Does he have does he have a mother and a father?
No.
Does he have brothers and sisters or children or a wife or consort or friends or buddies or partners or cousins?
No.
No, like you say, in Islam, who will Allah? I say he Allah is one, so he's only one, right? Well, then if there's nobody here but him, who must you be? That's right.
Oh.
That's right. So even again, when we speak to one another, it's only him entertaining himself. Yes, what we have created. We created a we, but we should flip that W to M and make it a me. That was one of the questions that was asked by Tahuti, the great teacher in Egypt, when he went to knock on the door of the Mansion of the Mighty to gain entrance. And when he knocked on the door, this great teacher, he was asked, who is it? And he said, it's me. Well, of course, the door didn't open. He had to go back and study and become a much wiser student, right? Then he came back and knocked again, and he was asked by the Most High, who is it? He said, Well, the door opened because there was no door. Because when he said, it's me, he created a door inside of his own mind the way you do in monotheistic religion. I say, God's in heaven, you on earth, you separate yourself from your own divinity. When he said, it's me, the implication was, it's me on this side of the door and you on that side of the door. When he realized there was only one, he came back and said, it's us or it's we. The door opened because there was no door. Because us and we is in the same place, it's the same one. There is no door. Remember, there is no us without you. Spell it. There is no us without you.
Mm-hmm. You. That's right.
Time, I'm going to let y'all think about that a while. I love you. Bless you.